enter now at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Twin Cities Auto Show, brought to you by Super America and Metro PCS. The Auto Show is March 10th through the 18th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Enter now at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Keyword contest, the Auto Show, driven by your local Honda dealers.
And as if that weren't enough, the Minnesota Beercast will be at the Auto Show next Friday night. We're going to be doing a live broadcast from the Auto Show Friday night, 7 to 9.
Will they?
We will.
Will they be there?
Yeah, we will.
That's great.
Or will you?
That's fantastic. People believe this stuff, Drew. You can't put that out there. Just tweeting stuff on Twitter, nothing but fake Drews. I did not touch you. I was nowhere near you during that break. People believe that
nonsense. You haven't seen my tweet.
Oh no! Oh, poor John.
I know. Yours isn't. I don't want to see. I'm turning it off. I'm turning it off. You enjoy your conversation with WWE superstar Elias when he comes in.
You know that
when he calls in. You know you have fun with that.
We will be joined by WWE superstar Elias.
I'm gonna go take a break.
And at the end of this segment, not now, but at the end of this segment, we will give away another pair of tickets to WWE Live Road to WrestleMania happening tomorrow night at the Target Center. 8:35 this morning, Katie Pavlich is going to join us, and we're going to be talking some gun stuff with her.
Yeah, we're going to get into before we talk with Katie, we do have a story. The story out of the Star Tribune, thousands of students walk out to protest gun violence at the Capitol. A friend of the show from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, Rob Dorr, went down there. He grabbed some audio for us. Really thankful that he went and did that. We're going to share some of that audio with you. Also talk about how FBI staffers' new warnings about Nicholas Cruz were related but closed the case. The FBI gave a summary in a press conference yesterday talking about the failures of their own department. Also, with Katie, for those that don't know, she was at the forefront of the investigation into the gun running scandal of Fast and Furious and the murder of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry that sort of brought all of this to light. Some of the family members of Brian Terry have come back out and they want the case reopened. They want some documents unsealed, so it's pushed the Fast and Furious story back into the spotlight. Katie wrote the book. I literally wrote the book. I've got it.
Right.
I own it. She wrote the book on Fast and Furious, and so we will be talking about that with her when she joins us again, coming up just after 8:30 this morning.
All of America.
Yeah.
Wants a water park.
Yeah. What do you got against water parks?
I don't have anything against water
parks. Water parks are fun.
Water parks are fun. I enjoy water parks.
They're good. They're a good time.
I like water parks that are built by water park owners.
Okay.
And run by water park owners and not water parks that are built by taxpayers.
All right. Well, before you start giving the Mall of America too hard of a time, all right? Okay. Let's look at the numbers here, right?
Okay.
The Mall of America owners. Okay. The mall's owners, 555, who said they've been contemplating adding a water park for years, made their pitch to the city's Port Authority in a memo that was released to the public on Tuesday. The document said that 555 would lease the land to the city and be hired by the city to operate the park, which would cost between $150 million and $200 million to build. Okay, so it's only like $200 million. But if we use taxpayer money, Drew, to build this, we all get to go. If you live in Minnesota, you all get to go for free, right?
That's not true.
Oh, that's not true?
That's not true.
Oh, well, I'm with you then. The heck with the water park.
Yeah, they want a water park, but none of the risk.
Of course not.
Of like building and owning and operating a water park.
Of course not. You want to put a water park in, you get a private entity to come and run your water park and pay for it and make money from it.
Exactly.
You don't need taxpayer money.
Drives me nuts.
Again. And I you could maybe have a conversation if everybody gets to go and I get to take my family and my boys there for free, but I don't think that's going to be part of the deal.
Joining us now, going to be at the Target Center tomorrow night for the WWE Live to Road to WrestleMania WWE superstar, Elias. Good morning, sir.
Hello, I am Elias.
Do you know what WWE stands for, don't you?
I'm asking if you know what WWE stands for.
I know what it stands for, Walk with Elias.
There we go.
How you feeling, man? I saw you on Monday night, and you got crushed by a piano, dude.
That's right. Yeah,
you doing all right?
First thing, yeah, that's exactly what I want to think about. First thing here, getting crushed by a piano. what a night Monday was, but I tell you, I'm on the road to WrestleMania and the road to recovery. So, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to make it to Minneapolis tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bring up a painful memory, but I was just worried about you. That looked pretty brutal.
Do you?
You know what? It was pretty brutal, but I don't sense a lot of sincerity in your voice.
It
sounds like you really enjoyed it for some reason. That's the sense I'm getting.
I'm not going to lie. I was definitely entertained.
Elias, given your line of work, do you often wake up in the morning going, what is going to fall on me?
I go in with the highest of hopes. I'm out there playing piano. I'm playing the drums. I got a song for everybody. And it seems like no matter what I do, no matter what entertainment I provide, there's always somebody that wants to interrupt me. And if it's Braun, he's always trying to drop something on me, that's for sure.
That seems to be Braun Strowman's thing. He likes to drop things on people.
Yeah. I found that out firsthand.
So you're going to be at the Target Center tomorrow night for the Road to WrestleMania, and you are known for your musical performances. For those that might not be familiar, Elias does some fantastic musical performances before his matches. He is unfortunately often interrupted by very, very rude colleagues and coworkers of his. But can attendees at the Target Center tomorrow night look forward to a performance from Elias before your match tomorrow?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I've been in a terrible mood, especially since Monday. So, you know, whoever shows up at the Target Center, they're gonna know exactly how I feel. That's for sure.
You know, when we look at major sports, you know, I'm a big NASCAR guy, but I can admit that, you know, NASCAR's had a difficult time in the past few years bringing people out to come and see the races. You look at the difficulties around the NFL and obviously the controversies that surround it. You look at WWE and what it's continued to be able to do throughout the years. Is there any one thing that you can perhaps point to why it continues to grow in popularity and people come out to see these shows? I mean, obviously the entertainment value of it, but I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the success of WWE.
Well, WWE is always bringing something different to the table. They're always changing with the times. They're always on the brink of pop culture. And it's why I am proud to say I'm a part of WWE. It's why I've branded WWE Walk with Elias. And, you know, we've got a little something for everybody, okay? It's a wrestling show and it's a variety show, and I'm living proof of that because I do everything. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to sing a song, I'm going to put on a show, and I'm going to fight somebody. So, you know, there's always something for everybody, all ages. And the WWE will continue to adapt and grow and bring you great entertainment.
It's true. I mean, I've been a fan for a long time. I grew up a fan, and then I kind of fell off for a while. But then when my son started to get old enough, he enjoyed watching it too. So it became something he and I did together, and it kind of brought my fandom back around from when I was a kid, getting to experience it with my son. And you're absolutely right. It's not only family friendly, but you know, because when you hear the words family friendly, that a lot of times that's just code for it's kid oriented. It's not. I mean, there is something for everybody. On every show, you get great action, you get some good drama, you get good humor, you get a little bit of everything. And I just want to say, with all sincerity, you know, I've really enjoyed your time so far up on the main roster. You've been a really fun addition to the show with your performances, with your music, and of course, you put on fantastic matches.
Well, thank you. That is the first time in this interview I have felt that you were 100% sincere.
I was.
So I will take that compliment and hold on to that. Thank you.
WWE superstar Elias at the Target Center tomorrow night for Road to WrestleMania. I'll be there. I look forward to seeing your performance. Look forward to the matches. And thanks for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
It's going to be a good one tomorrow. Thank you.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Take care. And we call our number 20 right now, 651-989-5855. You can win a pair of tickets to the Road to WrestleMania happening at the Target Center.
You're going to be there?
I'm going to go.
Is he going to go drop?
Brock Lesnar's going to be there.
You're all worried. You think he's going to drop a piano on you? I was a little worried at the start of that interview.
Are they allowed to drop pianos on spectators?
I don't.
Because then I might go.
I hope not.
I don't
want to
see that.
If I had a piano, I'd drop it on the both of you guys for your tweets for crying out loud.
If I had a piano, John, I would play you a beautiful, beautiful song
You know how to play piano?
No.
Okay.
It'd be called Stop Smacking My Butter.
That's not...
It would be Bad Touch.
What if I
Smith Shakespeare?
You know, Sam, there's people calling in that want to win WWE tickets. They really want to win a prize. I was totally nice this morning.
You're always totally nice.
I know. It's true.
That's never preventative.
Ah. 651-989-5855 for those tickets. I won't be there because I don't want to hang out with these two outside the studio. All right, let's go here. Out of Fox News, the FBI this week detailed to Congress a series of mistakes, missed opportunities to intervene before the gunman killed the 17 people in Parkland, Florida, including the revelation that staffers knew two warnings about the suspect were related, but still closed the case. The FBI director made the comments in a closed briefing on Tuesday with members of the House Judiciary and Oversight Committee. In a summary released to Fox News yesterday, the FBI director cited two tips that the FBI received about Cruz in September 2017 and January of 2018 that were mishandled. The 2017 tip alerted the FBI to a threatening YouTube comment made by the user Nicholas Cruz, which stated, "I'm going to be a professional shooter." And according to the summary, an FBI call taker did not ask any standard investigative probing questions about the 2018 tip. The 2018 call taker was able to connect Cruz to the earlier call about the YouTube comment, but after discussing it with the supervisor, they decided not to pursue the matter, and the case was closed. Boy, if you're, I really hope that there is a level of regret if you were the call taker, and
I can only imagine.
And after that conversation, and what was that conversation?
Yeah,
that led to them closing it. What was it? I'm not worried about it. I can tell by the tone of the people that were calling that didn't take it seriously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the person on the other end of this, obviously, you know, a human being, and I can only imagine what they're living with right now, and I feel terrible for them. It doesn't excuse anything, and there absolutely needs to be accountability on all levels of every organization that failed to, you know, because that's the frustrating thing about this. You know, we got all these kids marching out of class talking about gun violence. It sparked this whole another fresh round of debates about gun policy, but we have policies, laws, and regulations and processes in place now that could have prevented.
Right.
Not with 100% certainty.
Nope.
But may have prevented the Parkland tragedy, the Parkland shooting. And nobody's talking about the reform and the accountability that needs to happen to make sure that these failures don't happen again with existing laws and regulations and policies.
The FBI's mishandling of the warnings about the gunman in the Parkland High School shooting was worse than initially believed as authorities received a tip on January 5th and again failed to follow up. Coming up, and we bring this part of it to you before we bring you this part of it, because this is, in my opinion, this misguided idea. And what brought these kids locally, thousands of them, to walk out to protest gun violence at the Capitol. We have some audio from friend of the show, Rob Dorr, that we're going to share with you. But look, I'm sure that there were some kids in here that were being genuine in their frustration. But even when it comes to those kids being genuine with their calls for gun control, they don't understand the complexity of the issue, and they're missing the point of all the things that could have been done to handle this. On top of the fact that you had a whole bunch of kids that were just like, "Hey, man, we're getting ready to go on spring break, and I get to go start the day early by protesting." So we're going to get into this, play you some of the audio, and then just after 8:30, talk to Fox News' Katie Pavlich.
Justice in.
Well, I'm very good. Tune in and find out.
Welcome back.
Freedom and money.
Yeah.
I like freedom and money.
That's right. Not Doug, though. Not like Doug.
And making John miserable.
Yeah, you're good at that.
Yeah. Welcome back to the John Justice Show.
If you could ever figure out a way to get paid for that, you would be a millionaire.
Drew and Sam, I know they're talking, but they've both been fired for sexual harassment against a coworker.
Whoa!
Accusations.
Whoa!
False accusations. Yeah, so...
You victim blaming?
Yeah, man. I've already got production working on new promos and actually, I just grabbed all my old promos.
Yeah,
so
right.
I just grabbed all my old stuff. You guys, that's just jokes, everybody. Just if you're on Twitter using the hashtag TCNT.
Just a disclaimer: John Justice is absolutely pleasant to work with, and he does keep his hands to himself.
We're just having fun.
I have not left my chair since 6:15.
I don't know if that's true.
No, I think I got up once because I had to blow my nose, but that was about it. I don't think I haven't gotten up since then. All right, let's get into this.
Oh, my goodness.
Please. For those that don't know, this all stemmed because there's a new law that's working through, a new bill working through, because there's an exemption when it comes to grabbing somebody's buttocks that if they're clothed, it's okay. And the only explanation is that back in 1988, apparently, there was concern about the existing law and it being a criminal offense to grab somebody's butt, because what would happen if a coach went and did it to, a football team? So they put in the clothed exception in it.
And then John oddly advocated for butt.
You guys said why would you do people do that, and I was offering up my bizarro sort of explanation as to why people would go and do that in sports. I don't play sports. I don't know.
It's just encouragement.
I have no idea. You don't slap another ex-boxer's butt after a good match on Halo. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe that does happen. Those aliens. Way to go.
Smack.
Chad wrote me back, though. He said he's all on board with the have a good show butt slap. That
Okay, great. I'm looking forward to that. thank you very much.
I hope he's listening.
Out of the Star Tribune. Students from around the metro, you children, converged on the state capitol. I'm supposed to be the immature one. On Wednesday morning to protest gun violence, a crowd poured onto the Capitol steps and rallied before heading to a park just outside the state office building. St. Paul police estimated the crowd swelled to 5,000 kids. It should have been in school. We sat through many school shootings, and we've watched, and we've listened, and we've waited for something to change, and nothing has changed, said one of the organizers, Claire Fitzpatrick, an 18-year-old senior in St. Paul. She said students at her school started talking after the Parkland, Florida shooting. When students at her school realized that students at the St. Paul Central High School had been planning a march for Wednesday, they joined forces and spread the word on social media. Mikhail Stewart Davis, a 15-year-old freshman, heard about the walkout on social media and came out to support the 17 students who died, a reference to the 19-year-old gunman's attack. Fitzpatrick said students want the Minnesota legislature to take action. Here's words and stuff. You ready for 15-year-old words and stuff? Here you go. We've received silence from our legislators that can't pass a bill to help our students, and I think our first priority should be passing legislation that's going to help save lives of students. So again, there's words and stuff. Representative John Marty, DFL, Roseville, said he thinks the outpouring ultimately will have an impact on lawmakers at the Capitol. Good luck with that.
Why should it?
Yeah. I'm so glad that they got out to protest before their spring break.
Yeah, the march is actually happening during spring break, but that wouldn't work here because we wouldn't get a day off school.
Nope.
So we got to do it early.
Yep.
Because we got other stuff to. It's not important enough to interrupt your spring break festivities. No. But if you get the opportunity to walk out of school and skip class, by all means, that's cool. And where's the accountability? I mean, where are the repercussions?
No, there isn't accountability, and unfortunately,
you skipped class.
You have legislators that are encouraging this, and they got their own kids that are out there, 15 years old, and saying, "I'm so proud of my daughter for going and taking part in this."
Legislators encouraging it. You got teachers encouraging it. Some reports say that kids showed up on school buses.
Oh,
which means that not only was it encouraged, promoted, accepted, you go to just walk out of class, skip class to go attend a political rally simply because the teachers union agrees with it. It's possible that they spent taxpayer money on it.
If you are, look, kids have got free speech. They should be in school, right? So there's no denying that. But if you're in support of these kids going out there and doing that, you know, shame on you. You go out there and fight your own battle. If you're old enough to vote, that's fine. But if you're not and you're encouraging kids that aren't old enough to vote to go out there and speak for you, shame on you. You need to go out there and take up the issue yourself. You don't need to be using children to go out there and push your own anti-gun, gun control agenda. It's just, you know, when you craft your own arguments. You're the adult, not them. These kids don't understand the complexities of this particular issue. No. They're just following their classmates. They feel like they're doing something special. And I honestly do hope they got out of their system so when they come back from spring break, they can be back focused on their education and their future. Well, not this nonsense.
Big city, big metro area, public schools are no longer about education.
Yeah.
They just really aren't. If they were, this would never be tolerated. This would never be accepted. A friend of the show, Rob Dorr, was out there and spoke to some of the kids. We've got some audio from the big march yesterday.
What brings you guys here today?
Yeah, we went to be nice people.
To be nice people. Exercise?
Exercise.
Get out of class for
yeah. No.
That yeah. sounds like a party.
No, they initially were like, yeah, oh, no, we're not supposed to say that. It's totally not about just skipping class.
Wow.
Not at all, I swear.
So when you guys say gun control, is there like specific measure you guys are talking about or just in general?
Just in general, you know.
Fair enough.
Keep the students safe.
Just in general, you know. Just because, you know, just guns and controlling them and stuff.
So what brings you guys here today?
Just trying to tee up.
Tee up?
What they say?
Trying to tee up.
Now, you know what tee up means?
I mean, I know in the context of like teeing up a conversation.
Nope. Yeah, that's what I thought too, but no. Nope.
Am I saying something inappropriate?
Yep. That's a new slang. Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes beyond the whole thing we were talking about earlier that you guys were accusing me of.
I don't understand
grabbing,
young people.
Grabbing somebody's butt may be an attempt at teeing up.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
I know.
It's trying to hook up.
Yeah, trying to hook up.
Yeah.
So what brings you guys here today?
Just trying to tee up.
Tee up?
What did they say?
Then you can hear a friend just like,
yeah, he might as well have just said, I'm here for the chicks.
Yeah.
That's what he might as well have said.
Yeah. All the hot chicks are here, so.
Yeah.
We came out to, and it's Women's Day. It was International Women's Day.
There was a part that I had edited out of that clip just because it started to kind of, like, it got lost in the noise, but he was like, what is this for again?
And then this one was interesting.
What have you got there? Defend castle law? Yeah. So what are you saying with that?
So I think we should support castle laws. Basically, there's a law being proposed right now that would expand castle laws to include temporary dwelling places.
Yep.
Not just your home, and then also lower the standard of harm from great bodily harm to substantial.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really important. I think that would really help. So.
Okay, well, you're definitely a lone standout in this crowd.
Yeah. But, I mean... I gotta get my voice out.
So do you think you're alone in this sentiment, or are there others that are maybe not as bold as you to stand out and carry a sign?
I'd say, I mean, both. Obviously, this is, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, it's urban Minnesota, you
right.
know, it's probably, I'm part of the, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5%, but I think that, I mean, my voice should still be heard just as much as any other individual.
Awesome. Well, what's your name?
Jacob.
Jacob, man, I admire your courage. It's not hard to stand on your convictions against this kind of a force. So kudos to you, sir.
Man, it's too bad they can't get the kids to walk out, you know, in protest of the horrible education they're receiving. It's too bad they can't get them fired up, you know, about that particular hot button issue. That would actually be relevant. Congratulations to that kid for actually getting something right. And, you know, not saying you should have walked out of class for it, but, you know.
What he was talking about.
But at the same time, you know,
You know what, though? I'm not going to blame him.
No, of course not.
If you're if everybody else is walking out of class, right. If your entire school's
of
walking
course.
Out, if you're being encouraged by your teachers and your administrators and legislators to walk out of class to take part in this stupid rally, and you don't agree with that rally, by all means... You know, I go there and use that opportunity to express your dissent
sure.
with what they're doing. He's got just as much right to be there as everybody else.
Well, and I don't begrudge a lot of the kids who went out and joined in their fellow classmates who were getting out of class. I'd want to, too, even if I didn't believe in the issue, which is why it swelled to 5,000 people.
Yeah, they're kids. Of course they're going to. When they're being encouraged to by their teachers and their administrators and school buses are lining up to take them to this march... I don't blame the kids at all. It's because they're kids that you shouldn't be doing this, because of course they're going to take whatever opportunity they can to skip class, especially if it's going to be excused and approved of. Of course they are. That's why we make them go, because right. If it were up to them, they wouldn't.
Out of the Star Tribune, Minnesota's largest physicians organization has entered the debate over gun control, calling for a ban on assault weapons and more research on gun violence in reaction to the Florida school shooting. While the stance risks political fallout, including the defection of pro-gun doctors, leaders of the Minnesota Medical Association said they felt compelled to confront gun violence as a public health issue. This was a quote, right? The association said in a statement for statewide distribution. You ready? This is the association, okay? This is the Minnesota Medical Association. This is their quote in their statement. A few threats to our society and safety can be eliminated, but failure to intervene in the face of this significant epidemic is not an option. These are doctors apparently saying this.
Do they not know what the word epidemic means?
Apparently not.
Okay. They should.
I'm not
a doctor.
Epidemic.
I'm not a doctor, but I feel like I know enough to know that epidemic is not the appropriate word.
Opioid addiction. That's an epidemic. Right? Stupidity on Twitter, even.
The flu.
That's an epidemic, right?
Nobody's catching gun violence.
You know, I don't even got anything else. That's right. You know, that's right. I'm not walking around wearing a mask going, I don't want to get the gun violence.
Achoo. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Get away. You know,
I'm not violent with guns.
I'm not coming to work today. Why? Well, because I've got the gun violence.
Yeah, you don't want to spread
that. Well, okay, that's true. If you got the gun violence, you don't want to go to work. But being that it's in May, you're just not worried about, I'm not worried about catching.
You don't want me breathing your gun violence in.
No, right? Yeah, exactly. I don't. Can you dust for gun violence?
Is there like an anti-gun violence spray?
Like a hand sanitizer? Yeah, kills gun violence.
Gets rid of the
sanitize my gun violence.
How is that transmitted exactly? Maybe it's the butt grabbing. It's important as a significant health organization in this state that we should be seen as involved on the issues, said Dr. Randy Rice from Moose Lake Family Doctor, who is the chairman of the association's board and also an idiot. He noted that the statement echoes, I added that part, similar stances adopted by the American Medical Association. But this makes me laugh, by the way. The end of the Star Tribune story, it says congressional restrictions have blocked the CDC from conducting public health research on gun violence for many years. Yeah, you want to know why? Because it's the CDC, right? It's not the CGC. It's the Centers for Disease Control, not the Center for Gun Control. Right? And it's not an epidemic. It's something that you could just catch because somebody sneezed on you.
It's not a disease.
Yeah. But that's how people who are anti-gun feel. They feel like if they get around a pro-gun proponent and that person sneezes on them, they're going to catch it. I got sneezed on. I need to buy a Glock.
Jeff and Cocato, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to apply for the gun shooting epidemiologist position, please.
Yeah, can you test for that?
You know that that's coming. You know that they're going to have a cabinet-level freaking guy that's going to be that.
Yeah.
If a Democrat gets in office. My thing was, your question was, what should be the legislative reaction to this, and mine would be raise the voting age to 25. How does that sound?
Right.
Except for the one kid that was backing the Castle Doctrine. You let him, you grandfather him in.
Just him.
But that's why the medical association ends up getting into this, because they do want to add it to the healthcare. They've been trying to do that for a long time. I already don't like it when I go to the doctor and one of the last questions they ask you is that do you feel safe at home? It's like, what business is it? What, on an emotional level, on a physical level?
I've had doctors ask me, are there guns in your home?
Yeah,
this is none of your business. Kay in Eagan, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry, great alarm going off. I've been listening today and yesterday, and I've listened here and there. I listen to the channel a lot. I listen to Rush and Sean Hannity and like that. But anyway, I'd like to say that I think to bring these teenagers into the fold, basically, of what we're trying to do to help them, to make them safer, it doesn't help to make kind of disparaging comments of a 15-year-old.
They brought themselves into the fold, though, and the 15-year-old's not old enough to vote. And if a 15-year-old wants to go out there and act like he's an adult, right, and that's what they're doing, talking about adult issues, then it's appropriate, in my opinion, to go and point out when, in fact, they're not adults. They're technically still juveniles, technically still children, and it needs to be pointed out. These are issues of which they're not old enough to be dealing with yet, and they don't have a say in the matter.
And Kay, did you hear the audio that we played earlier? They were clearly out there having a good time, and a lot of them weren't even there because of anything to do with gun control. They were there because they saw an opportunity to skip class and get out of class and go on a big march with their classmates.
Well, I know that's going to happen. That's because of the way what you're saying, that to get help the students to get there so they feel like that they're doing something, because they're the ones whose lives, you know, in their schools are being endangered. And I think what they're doing, you know, standing up and trying to get things better in their schools, just in general, is a very good idea. And I don't think it helps to make this. I mean, I was a 15-year-old too. And I wasn't stupid and dumb, and I did have a lot of opinions, and I did well in school, like I'm sure a lot of you guys did. And it would be very disheartening to hear them talk on your program, just very disparaging about, like, a 15-year-old doesn't have ability to understand things. Because, I mean, I don't think that's right. And they're all going to be voting, and they're very concerned about this, and they're doing everything that they have been, you know, given opportunity to do, and they're doing the best they can. But, they really are.
Well, I can only speak for me. I did not do very well in school. But to the nature of what they are going out and proposing and what they're calling for, I personally feel they're incredibly misguided. They're not talking about the things that are going to keep them any safer. But again, if they're going to skip school, which is their they should be staying in class for one. But two, if they're going to go and skip school and talk about these particular issues, then they open themselves up to be criticized. And I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah, if you're going to inject yourself into a adult policy, you're going to inject yourself into political policy conversations, then you're a fair game for criticism and even mockery.
Well, I think that's very unfortunate to do that to these kids that are just trying to make a comment and doing something they think will help keep them.
But if nobody pushes back on them, you know, how are they going to learn?
Well, what they learn if they listen to your program is if you're mocking them and making fun of them for even trying to do something.
They're not doing anything, though. I mean, they're not. Okay, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this. We just are. We really appreciate the fact that you called in. We're running behind. But I appreciate the fact that you called in and voiced your opinion on it.
Thanks, Kay. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to talk with Katie Pavlich from Fox News next here on Justice and Drew.
Justice and Drew.
Justice and Drew, along with Sam, 651-989-5855 is the phone number here on Twin Cities News Talk. Very pleased to welcome to the show once again, Fox News contributor, editor at townhall.com, writes for The Hill, loves boots, world traveler, Katie Pavlich. Good morning, Katie.
Hello.
Nice to talk.
I have a voice now. This is good.
Yeah, are you lost your voice there for a little while. I was a little bit concerned when I texted you, but you're all right now?
I'm doing well after a weekend of what felt like it was never going to end. I'm feeling better.
Well, it was Drew. Who was the reporter? Was it Jamie Dupree that ended up having the
lost
issue?
His voice? Losses completely.
Yeah, completely. When you said that, I was reminded of Jamie's situation. I'm glad you're doing better.
Thank you.
All right. Out of the Hill. We've been talking about this all morning. The DOJ to give oversight panel more Fast and Furious documents. I know that Kent Terry of Brian Terry's family. I'm not sure what is Kent's relation to his brother.
It's his brother.
His brother, Kent Terry, was on Fox and Friends on Tuesday. They continued to search for the truth on this. And as we've been letting everybody know, you were at the forefront of the Fast and Furious investigation, wrote the book on it. With this DOJ giving oversight panel more Fast and Furious documents, what is it that we expect to find? What are these going to entail?
Well, first, it's just amazing how long, you know, we've been talking about this. You and I have been discussing this issue for years and years and years. I can't imagine how the Terry family feels being dragged along and not ever, you know, getting the answers that they deserve. But in terms of what happens next, the Justice Department, as announced yesterday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said that he will comply with a lawsuit from the Oversight Committee and turn over these documents. So we still have a long way to go. The documents will be turned over to the Oversight Committee, but then they are expected to go through them, write up a report, and then release the documents to the public in full. Now, I'm not sure what the documents are going to look like, how much redaction is going to be going on. But in terms of the timeline on this, it's quite interesting the way this went down, because earlier this year, or last year rather, Sessions had no interest in turning over these documents. And you have Kent Terry speaking up yesterday, or earlier this week on Fox and Friends, which the president watches. And then all of a sudden, DOJ is willing to comply. So I have a feeling, and I've asked the White House this, and they haven't responded. They haven't responded, but I have a feeling that President Trump made a phone call to DOJ and said, time to comply with that lawsuit and get these documents out. It was a promise I made, and the family deserves to know what happened.
For those that aren't familiar with Fast and Furious, can you do the quick version?
Yeah, the quick version. The quick version is, between 2009 and 2010, the Obama Justice Department and ATF knowingly and purposely allowed straw purchasers working for Mexican cartels to buy thousands of guns at gun dealerships in America and then illegally traffic them into Mexico, and then they got lost. And the only way that they were able to find them is when they ended up at crime scenes, which is what happened with Border Patrol agent Brian Terry in December 2010. And he was murdered while out on a special mission, because he was part of kind of the special forces branch of called BORTAC of Border Patrol. He was killed by a RIP crew, and the guns that they had were given to them by ATF and DOJ. And as soon as his murder occurred, the program stopped, but the cover-up began. And eventually, Attorney General Eric Holder became the first sitting cabinet member in American history to be voted in civil and criminal contempt by Republicans and Democrats in Congress. So when President Obama says he didn't have any scandals, he certainly did. And the toll is quite grim. The estimates are hundreds, if not thousands, of people in Mexico have been killed as a result of this. And we've seen since this happened, that a number of these guns have also showed up at crime scenes back in America. So the big scandal there, too, was that they were blaming American gun shops for the violence, when really it was ATF forcing the gun shops to sell to these people who they knew were working for cartels.
And again, if you've never read Fast and Furious that Katie wrote, I would highly suggest you pick that up and give that a read. It's fascinating insight into this. And you mentioned something at the start of our conversation. No, I think it's relevant to a lot of the stories we talk about today. I mean, how many years now have we been, right. have you been covering this?
Time.
I mean, it was a long time since you wrote the book. I mean, the book was 2012. Yeah. I mean, and you were on it before then. I mean, it tells you how long these investigations, how slow government works, how slow the process is, and how long these things can go on for, especially with something over this, because we have the information. We know the details.
It just really is incredible, the amount of resources and time and, investigation and the number of requests. I mean, Judicial Watch has also sued for a lot of these documents. And if, all because the government refuses to be transparent. And it has real.
Well, they refuse to be transparent because they're being criminal. I mean,
right,
it would be one thing if they were just refusing to be transparent about their normal everyday processes. That's a lack of transparency. What they're covering up is genuine criminal acts that resulted in people's deaths.
Right.
Yeah.
And covering up the fact that, people weren't fired at ATF. People weren't fired at DOJ. They were simply shuffled around or promoted, which is disgusting. So, I'm glad that they're releasing the documents. I'm excited to see them. Hopefully they won't be completely redacted. But I also am disappointed that nobody has ever been held accountable for this.
Yeah.
I think that's what really matters, because if you don't hold anyone accountable for criminal behavior, then guess what? It happens again. And families and Americans can't afford for the government to be putting them in that position.
Well, speaking of the border, let's shift gears here. During Sam's Top 5 this morning, we talked about this. I've been talking about it all week. You had Attorney General Jeff Sessions going to California, laying it out and calling, obviously, into question, to put it lightly, the actions of the Oakland mayor there in Schaaf. You also have the lawsuit over sanctuary cities. We were talking earlier this morning, Katie, and we've all seen this happen, especially for the time that we were in Arizona, where when it came to the immigration issues, the tide shifted towards those that don't want to have our immigration laws enforced. And they really, really shifted a long, long way to that end, to the point where we just don't have laws enforced and these sanctuary cities mm-hmm. popped up. I'm happy to see Jeff Sessions stepping up and calling this out. You can't just turn a blind eye to the law. I am legitimately happy to see Democrats in California who are willing to go out there and say how they really feel about the issue, that apparently the rule of law doesn't matter to them. Is there a larger thing at play here with the DOJ making these moves, or is it simply just finally time that they're stepping up and wanting to see these laws enforced? I'm just wondering if there's more to this than just what we're seeing in the news.
No, I think what you're saying is pretty on par with what's going on. I think that they're trying to send a message with them going after California to other states, you know, meaning we mean business, and if we're going to break the law and protect criminal aliens, you know, we're not talking about people who don't commit violent crimes, including rape and murder. That's who ICE is going after in California. You know, DOJ is sending that message, but I love that they're doing it. I mean, I think it's great that Sessions flew into the state on their turf and said, we're here to enforce the law. You know, you guys know my master plan too. I mean, I'm all about building a wall on the west side of Arizona up through Nevada on the California border. So, you know, this might just be part of that bigger plan.
And the way we're going with the Department of Justice and Sessions and their relationship with California, your plan might come to fruition sooner than the actual southern border wall.
Yeah, exactly. One can dream. I'm just kidding. I actually like California, but as we know, it's the worst state of the union now, so.
there's
like a matter of fact, that is, as we all know, as we all agree.
Yeah, just a fact. True.
All right, Katie, let's go here.
The science is settled.
You made some news again. First off, so Kennesaw State University in Kennesaw, Georgia. Was this last night you spoke there?
This was last night.
Okay, yeah. So what was the topic? Why were you brought there?
I was brought there by the Young Americans for Freedom chapter to discuss bias in the media. Pretty tame topic.
Yeah, you're not even talking guns or Fast and Furious, just bias in the media.
Thank goodness you guys didn't bring me to talk about guns. Real trigger warning.
But apparently it was too controversial. So the security fees. So what happened here?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a typical runaround, and I'm, quote, controversial because I have to be a conservative female who exists in the world and who happens to have opinions and you know, has the gall to speak out on college campuses and against the Marxist tyranny that exists everywhere. But I don't know why I was controversial, but it's a tactic by the administration to try and shut down conservative student groups from speaking, and they slapped on a security fee, which is unconstitutional, simply because they said that there might be people who can't behave themselves. And my, you know, response to that is always, well, I'm sorry that your leftist students are so out of control and so intolerant that they can't hear another person speak with different ideas before getting violent, and that's why you need security. I mean, it was fine. It was calm. It was nothing really happened. Thank goodness. But it's not necessarily that I'm controversial and that there's actually a security threat. It's that they use it as a tactic to try and get us to cancel the event or make it more difficult. I used to deal with this at U of A.
Yep.
So, you know, it happens everywhere. You know, sometimes things are worse than others. Like when I was at the University of Madison, Wisconsin last semester, I did have to have security, armed security with me because it was, you know, the level was higher. But this is just something that we deal with on a regular basis, and YAF is now suing Kennesaw State because, you know, you can't just push people around like that. We're not going to take it anymore.
Well, Katie, we got to let you go. I will add, though, it's too bad you can't just conceal carry on the campus. You can just protect yourself.
You can in Georgia.
Oh, good.
Kennesaw State was sharing last night. I loved it. It was freaking awesome.
Hey, when are you going to be on TV?
I'll be on that number tomorrow night and on Martha McCallum's show tonight.
All right. Glad your voice is back. Thank you so much for the time this morning, as always, Katie.
We'll catch up with you next week.
Ciao.
Bye.
Roundtable in tomorrow. Tom Emmer at 6:45, Brian McDaniel and Brian Miller in for the roundtable at 7, plus more chances to win WWE Live WrestleMania tickets, Road to WrestleMania tickets.
Good job, everybody.
Good job, Sam.
I didn't grab any butts. Just letting you know.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
I didn't say grab.
I said
slap.
Yeah, there's a difference in grab and slap.
Let's do that. Let's do it again tomorrow, apart from the butt grabbing.
Tomorrow at 6. We'll do it again.
Do you hear me? Butt grab. I don't want nobody
to get... I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look.